It's time now for the Routt County Commissioners Radio Roundtable.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Routt County Commissioners Monthly Roundup. My name is Amanda Shepherd, and I will be your host today. I'm here with Commissioners Melton, Corrigan, and Redmond, and today we'd like to start with a question for our chair, Commissioner Melton. Commissioner Melton, I recently saw an article in the Colorado Sun that you co-authored with commissioners from around the state. It was in support of the collective bargaining bill. Can you tell our listeners more about this bill and what it means for Routt County employees?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, the state legislature worked a lot. There was a lot of time and effort that went into shaping this bill to protect the right of public employees to join a union and to be represented by a union in collective bargaining. Prior to the bill, in state statute, employees could do that, but they basically had to have permission from the elected officials in their jurisdiction. And this bill really recognizes that as a protected right for employees. The bill initially included some other public sector employers at different levels of government, and in the end, ended up only including counties, which was a bit of a disappointment, but I think the three Routt County commissioners agreed that supporting these rights for employees of counties was an important thing to do. And so we supported that bill. In terms of what it means for employees, not much, honestly, unless they opt to form a union, at which point that right would be protected under state statute. I think I would speak for my fellow commissioners in saying that if the employees of Routt County had come to us and wanted to form a union prior to the passage of this bill, they would have been able to do that. But what this bill does is to protect those rights for all county employees across the state, which quite frankly is the right thing to do. Employees, workers deserve the right to be represented and to have a voice with their employers. And the formation of a union is one way that they can do that.
Well, thank you so much for supporting those rights. Commissioner Corrigan, it sounds like the Solar Cooperative is continuing to move forward in Routt County. Can you bring us up to speed on where we are in this process and how people can get involved if they're interested?
You bet, Amanda. So I'm personally pretty excited about the Solar Co-op. I'm planning on putting an installation out at my house later this year, hopefully. So in any case, Solar United Neighbors is a nonprofit organization that comes into communities like ours and provides the ability for a large group of people to get together collectively and use that collective demand to work with one installer to get the best price possible for a number of installations. The Northwest Solar Co-op launched just earlier this year, and the goal is to get 100 people in Routt, Moffitt, and Rio Blanco counties to show interest in a solar installation. Folks can sign up by visiting solarunitedneighbors.org, and there'll be a button there that you can follow to join the co-op. There is no financial obligation to join the co-op. You're simply showing interest. And once the co-op achieves that 100 member goal, they'll go ahead and put out an RFP, and hopefully we'll get a number of respondents to provide these installations. After the co-op has selected the vendor that we want to work with, then that vendor will contact each one of the members individually and put together a proposal to install solar on their homes. Not only is there the benefit of aggregating all of that demand, but our understanding is that most solar installers, about 20 to 30% of their cost is in customer acquisition. So by removing that expense right away, we will have the opportunity to save folks quite a bit of money. The co-op is open until September 2nd, and that's when we'll close off new members and move forward with the RFP process.
Great. And Do you know if we are close to the 100 members interested?
I think we're up around 40 right now, but that's pretty good because we just kicked this off 2 or 3 weeks ago. So we're still seeing people sign up on a regular basis. I'm not sure that we actually have to have 100 folks sign up. I think if we get to 50 or 60, that would be enough to move forward. But ideally, we'd have 100. That would help.
All right, great. Thank you. Commissioner Redmond, it seems like the PDR has been on the commissioner's agenda a lot lately. Can you give everyone a little history on the PDR program and how it benefits Route County as a whole?
Oh, I'd be very happy to. Really started back in 1996, was approved by the voters, and that November ballot, which started the PDR program. Realistically, when we look at our county, annually, there is $46 million a year generated through ag activities within this county. So it was very exciting to me that the people of Route County stood up, made the commitment to preserve part of the mill levy to purchase development rights. And the nice thing about this is it's administered not only by our PDR board, which is appointed by the county commissioners, but is also helped administrated by land conservation organizations, Nature Conservancy, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Colorado Cattlemen's Land Trust. So these properties are annually inspected, watched, maintained, and this allows a lot of those ranches to stay in ranching, although it does not keep them from selling the land at some point, but the development rights are in perpetuity. So that land is going to stay as it is, although families can sell it, exchange it how they need to move forward. And then in 2005, it went back to the voters who reapproved the program until 2025 and increased the amount of money that would be available through that program. So it has been really a great pleasure for me to watch these pieces of land be preserved, to preserve the character of our community and our county. When you drive around and you go to other resort communities, they don't look like we do. You've got the sprawl that is around their development areas. You've got subdivisions that seem to be in the middle of nowhere. We've been able to avoid a lot of that in this county and preserve the nature, the heritage of our county as it stands, which, let's be honest, is really why so many of us want to live here. It's a special place, and we know that we can preserve it with this program into the future. As we move forward, we may look at the program, we may tweak it, we may make some changes, but in general, this has been, an excellent program for Route County, for the ranchers that want to maintain their property, keep it in perpetuity as they have worked hard to steward it. And honestly, it's maintaining the character of our community. So between preserving open space, ag land, riparian habitat, wildlife corridors, it's doing a lot to preserve what we love about our county. As we move forward, I think this program can be an important tool for us to preserve what we love about our county.
Well, thank you for that. Commissioner Melton, in late May, the commissioners unanimously voted to approve a paid family medical leave policy for Route County employees. Will you tell us about this policy and what it means for employees and for the county as an employer?
Absolutely. So we, of course, have been having a lot of discussion about supporting employees and how to make the county a great place to work or maintain its status in that way. This policy comes at a good time for a few different reasons. One is that the state is about to implement some legislation that passed, I think last year, or maybe the year before, which requires employers and employees across the state to pay into a paid family medical leave program that's administered at the state level. And we took a look at that policy and identified that we would prefer to have a more favorable policy for our employers employees available, that state policy requires a payroll deduction from both the employee and the employer, as well as some hoops that folks have to jump through to get access to those funds, and some pretty complicated calculations about how much of a person's salary is covered during the time that they're off. And local governments do have the option of opting out of that state policy. And so the county manager worked on putting together this alternative, which will be available to our employees, as you said. The policy allows up to 12 weeks of paid family medical leave for a number of qualifying conditions, which match those in the state systems. There's, of course, parental leave for mothers or fathers in the case of adoption or childbirth. There is also leave to care for a family member who is ill, has a prolonged illness. There's protection for folks who are experiencing domestic violence and need some amount of protection, as well as a few other categories. So really what this policy means for employees is that they have a safety net to be with their family, to take care of their family in the way that they need to. And we passed this policy, supported this policy, because really it's the right thing to do, whether you give birth to a child or whether you are taking care of a parent or some other member of your family or yourself for an extended period of time. The added stress of whether you'll be able to pay your bills during that period of time is not something that folks should have to experience the burden of, in my opinion. I think this is the direction that things are moving in the country, both in the private and the public sector. And so the other piece of that is remaining a competitive employer in order to provide the services that we both are mandated to provide and that our community values. We need employees, and we need employees who stick around. We need to reduce our costs in terms of retaining people, making sure that we're not retraining all the time, that we're not experiencing high levels of turnover. And any of the ways that we can do that, we are looking to do, just like every other employer is during this time.
Well, thank you to all of the commissioners for continuing to look out for Route County employees. Commissioner Corrigan, in March, the commissioners voted to support improvements to the South Route Community Center. The ribbon cutting ceremony for the new and improved center is in early June. What will these improvements mean for the South Route community?
A lot. A short answer to that. So a little bit of background. The South Route Community Center was built, I believe, in 1981. It was sometime in the early 1980s. And it was built with some grant money from the state and some sponsorship of the grants through Route County. And it was built to host nonprofit community organizations supporting the people of South Route County. Currently, that building is home to the Route County Council on the Aging, the Route County Department of Human Services Satellite Office, Lift Up of Route County, the Newborn Network, Enlightened Minds, which is a counseling operation, and the Oak Creek After School and Summer Program. So late last year, we, the board, and I've been the president of the board of the South Route Community Center for a number of years now, we found out that our longtime biggest tenant, the South Route Library, the Oak Creek branch of the South Route Library, was terminating its lease because it had found a new home in downtown Oak Creek. While that was really exciting for the library district, it was a real challenge for the community corporation to find a tenant to fill that space. Fortunately, we had a built-in tenant with the Oak Creek After School and Summer Program that was really looking to expand its space anyway. So we quickly made arrangements to move the After School and Summer Program for kids into the space that was formerly occupied by the South Route Library. Really good news is that the larger space allows that program to expand its services, I think, from 23 kids to 38 kids. I may not have those numbers exactly right, but it was a significant expansion of the ability to serve kids in South Route. The problem was that in that new space, there were some upgrades that were required, and in particular, the addition of a full-scale kitchen to serve those kids. And the cost of that was beyond what either the town of Oak Creek or the community corporation had the ability to be able to fund. So the community corporation came to the Route County Commissioners and made a request for $35,000 to support the construction work that would be necessary to add that kitchen. Fortunately, the commissioners agreed to provide that funding, and I'm happy to report that we got all of that work completed. Final inspections last week, and as you said, Amanda, here early in June, we'll be having a ribbon cutting to celebrate the opening of the new after-school and summer program for kids in Oak Creek. It's really a great thing because, as I think we all know, the demand for those kinds of services is skyrocketing in our community. Last year, when the program was only able to serve 23 kids in the summer, I think there was 20 to 30 families that were on the waiting list for those services. So this year, while we may not be able to wipe out that waiting list, we're going to be able to significantly reduce it and serve a lot more kids with a really high-quality program.
Well, I look forward to seeing all those improvements at the upcoming ribbon-cutting ceremony. Commissioner Redmond, the Community Ag Alliance recently published an article on using water wisely. What do you want our Route County community to know about our water resources and how we can use water responsibly?
Thank you. And you know, this is a very timely question. At this point in time, we're doing a little better than I thought we would. We've had a very wet May, which has helped us out quite a bit. But when we look at water, and especially water in the state of Colorado, 80% of the moisture that falls on the state of Colorado falls on the western slope. But at the same time, as we look at the growth that's happening in our state along the Front Range in the Denver metro Boulder area, that's where the growth in the state is happening. And let's be honest, where are they looking? They're looking at our water, Trans Mountain transfers. So we need, one, to be wise with our water, and two, to be in a position to advocate and protect our water. We, on the western slope, are in the watershed of the Colorado, the Yampa, and the Green River. And that water goes on to take care of 40 million people. So there's a demand on there already. And we've been over sending our water to the lower compact states for years and basically shortchanging ourselves. So one, we're in a situation where we need to utilize our water wisely because we are expected to deliver 7.5 million acre feet to the lower compact. But at the same time, we can look at how to improve our water use practices. You probably have noticed in some areas, you're seeing the flood irrigation go away and turn into pivot irrigation, where I may not necessarily think that's the best way to go. It is more efficient. It helps produce more hay and crops with less water. But at the same time, we need to think about some of the ways that we don't use water wisely. When you drive by in the middle of the afternoon and you see lawn sprinklers running during the heat of evaporation, water running down sidewalks and streets into curbs and gutters, that's a waste of water that we cannot afford. So we need to think about how we use our water, when we use our water. If you're irrigating your gardens and your lawns, it's better early or late, so you can avoid that evaporation and let that water actually serve the purpose that you intended to use, to let it get to where you want it to be. And at the same time, even though we are one of the locations that sees more water, that is not a reason to waste water or to use it unwisely. The more water we can conserve and preserve, the more we're going to be able to protect our ranchers, our farmers. You know, those are industries that we're not going to be able to survive without. We need the food. We need the economic boost that comes from that. So we're in a situation where we have to be wise with our water, become more and more efficient with it. And that not only is to us as individual users, low flow shower heads and toilets and things like that, but at the same time, you know, maybe not plant as much of a green lawn as you have in the past. Maybe think about xeriscape. There is money now from the new legislation that we passed that will actually give you money for turning parts of your lawn back to a more water-efficient landscape. It doesn't have to be xeriscape, but you can find other ways to landscape your property, that we use a lot less water than Kentucky bluegrass, which should probably have never been in the state of Colorado in the first place. So we need, as a communities, to lower our water usage. We need to, as individuals, be frugal and wise and think about the next person. We need to come up with incentives for our ranchers to use less water and be reimbursed for it. Right now, there are a lot of farmers and ranchers that are practicing no-till, planting ground covers, using ways to preserve their soil moisture. And at the same time, that water is running down the ditch. And in the state of Colorado, it's use it or lose it situation. So there's a lot of ranchers that are just going to dump that water out there saying, it's mine, I'm going to use it. But if we can find ways for them to get credit for it, maybe put it into some type of a bank, we're going to get a lot more voluntary conservation. And that's really what I would like to see, is voluntary conservation. Because by the time we get down to mandatory water restrictions, we're too late and everybody will pay the price. So we need to work together to preserve a resource that we all need. None of us can live without water.
So you all just spent some time at the CCI conference. I would love to hear each of your biggest takeaways from that conference.
So CCI, for those who don't know, is Colorado Counties Incorporated, and it's the statewide association of commissioners from most of the counties in the state. There are a handful that are not members. It's a really great opportunity to connect with our peers, our colleagues in other counties, and really learn from them. I don't know about a big takeaway, but one of the things that was of most interest to me was having some conversations about short-term rentals with commissioners from lots of different types of counties. You know, I think often we're speaking to our peers in other resort communities about what their experience and observation has been. And I had some opportunity to hear a little bit about what's happening in some of the more kind of rural communities that do not have resorts in them. And interestingly, you know, while the magnitude maybe is much smaller in those communities because they don't have tourism driving demand for short-term rentals in the same way that we do, facing a lot of the same questions about regulation, about taxation, about limits, and thinking about how to plan for the impacts that short-term rentals might have on their community in the long run. You know, similar to what we've seen in Hayden or in Oak Creek. Obviously, Steamboat is a little bit of a different beast when it comes to that. So that was really fascinating for me to learn that in different types of communities and commissioners who have, you know, different political affiliations and values, everyone's kind of looking at this in some similar ways and trying to figure out how to address the impacts that are created going forward. So those were really valuable conversations for me.
So I've been going to these conferences for 10 years now, and I don't think I have any really big new takeaways. A lot of them are the same, but I think they're worth mentioning. A regular takeaway is that Colorado is an extremely diverse state with a people from vastly different types of counties in terms of the landscape, in terms of the political affiliations, in terms of their economies. And I think we all work really hard to advocate very strongly for what's best for our own individual counties, but fortunately share some collective vision about what's best for the entire state of Colorado. That doesn't mean that we can set aside all those differences all the time, but I think one of the big values that CCI brings in all of the presentations that they make on things like collective bargaining, soil health, water issues, behavioral health, all of these different issues, is that we can all at least be working from the same set of facts. And we can disagree about how best to address those issues, but at least we can agree on what the facts are around those issues. So even though I've struggled with the organization at times, I still think it's a high-value organization. And then, of course, as Commissioner Melton pointed out, the ability to interact with our peers on specific subjects. And we do learn a lot when we ask other people what they're going through.
To follow up from my point of view is, I don't know that there was a big takeaway that I got from CCI. But what I really find enriches me and helps me do my job are the contacts that I'm able to make, not only with state representatives, federal reps, but speaking to my fellow county commissioners. They can tell me their success stories. And I am a firm believer that if somebody is doing something that works, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel, and that I'm happy to listen to your success story and follow that. And for me, I will say that I had a good conversation with Commissioner Greg Felt from Chaffee County, and it's a follow-up conversation for me. Chaffee County took their time, looked at their fire situation, and were able to come up with a treatment map where by treating 5% of their county, and this is their description of it, but they were able, according to this map, to reduce their fire risk by 50%. And they call it the bang for buck map. So if you can do a 5% treatment and reduce your fire exposure in the county by 50%, that's something I need to look at to understand, and then to come back to Route County and see what lessons from that we can implement here to improve our situation. I don't care if you call it climate change, global warming, our fire season is longer than it's ever been. And it's frightening, and it's impacting our way of life. And we need to get on top of this, find ways to protect ourselves and our community, and also our watershed. Because if we lose our forest, we're going to lose our watershed, the quality of our water. And 85% of Coloradans rely on a forested watershed for their drinking water, which is much higher than I ever anticipated that being. When you look at the amount of plains that are in this state, they've realized that 85% of us are counting on a forested watershed for our water. And being a semi-arid state, that is something we cannot afford to waste.
Well, thank you all for your insights today. Thank you to our listeners for listening, and we will chat with you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Route County Commissioners Radio Roundtable.